Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 a.m. on Public Access Channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. It will help you with these MP3 files for these radio broadcasts. Our TV programs are there, and a host of other Bible-related material in helping you better understand the Word of God. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship services and our Bible studies at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. Last week, we began a study on why we're a member of the Church of Christ is because we believe and teach and practice that the kingdom has been established and is not yet to come. That makes us very different than denominationalism, because denominationalism, 90% of them believe that the kingdom is yet to be established. That is something that's going to happen in the future, and there's going to be a 1,000-year reign on Christ on the earth. Last week, we looked at many passages that demonstrated that Jesus was pointing to the fact that the kingdom was at hand, and then we showed the passages that demonstrated the kingdom has already been established. Today, we want to conclude this part of our study by looking at some more scripture. In Zechariah chapter 6, verse 13, we have a prophecy concerning Christ on his throne in heaven. It says, "Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord, so he shall bear the glory, and he shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of his peace shall be between them both." Now, in Zechariah, it prophesied that he would sit and rule upon his throne. Not only would he rule, but he would sit on that throne. In Acts 2, we read this last week, he's sitting at God's right hand. We read that from Peter's own inspired words in the first message on the day of Pentecost, that he made reference to the fact that he was at the right hand of God. And he would be a priest on that throne, according to Zechariah. Well, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, Christ is referred to as our high priest in heaven. Now, if he's our high priest in heaven, and the priest is on the throne, then that throne must be established. And if it's established, that means the kingdom is in existence now. Could he be a priest on earth? Absolutely not. Why? Because the priesthood on earth was that of Levi. He wasn't from Levi. He was from the tribe of Judah. Hebrews 7, verse 14. If he cannot be a priest on the earth, his kingdom cannot be on the earth, because he is both priest and king in his kingdom. But he can be both priest and king in his kingdom, because he's already our high priest, and he's sitting and ruling on the spiritual throne of David. Now, concerning Christ on David's throne, in Luke chapter 1, verse 32, Luke wrote, "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David." In Acts chapter 2, we read this last week, beginning in verse 30, "Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn in an oath from him, from the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne." That's a promise made to David in 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 14. "He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption." You see, Christ was resurrected to sit on David's throne. If not, we must deny his resurrection, because that was one of the reasons for it. In Zechariah 6, this setting and ruling would be contemporary and simultaneously when Christ is sitting and ruling in his kingdom. And Acts 2, 32 through 35, this proves he is now sitting at the right hand of God, thus he is now ruling on that throne, his throne, the spiritual throne of David. Those who believe in the 1,000-year reign also teach that we're not living in the last days. Well, that's in complete contradiction to what Peter said in Acts 2, 16 and 17. And he was quoting from Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 32, and fulfilling the prophecy that Joel made, that he called it the last days. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 says that in the last days, God speaks to us through his Son. We're in the last days. So now he's speaking to us through his son. If he's speaking to us through Christ, then we're in the last days because that's when Christ was said to speak for his Father. In 1 Corinthians 15, 23, the scripture says, "But each of his after his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are in Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet." Now, we could go back to passages like John 5, 28 and 29, that say that all that are in the graves are going to hear his voice, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. But we see that he must reign until he puts all enemies under his feet. The resurrection at the coming of Christ will be the final resurrection. Then comes the end. Not the beginning of the thousand-year reign, not the beginning of a new kingdom, not ushering in a new era on earth. It's the end. The Bible says it's going to be the end. He's going to deliver the kingdom up, not establish it. How do you deliver something to the Father that's not yet in existence if our premillennial friends are right? He's going to abolish all rule. He's not going to begin to rule. He's going to give it back to his Father who gave it to him. And so you got just the opposite here, ladies and gentlemen. What the argument that the denominations make, that he's going to, the kingdom's going to be set up, it's going to be established, and then he's going to rule, is completely opposite to what the scripture says. The scripture says the kingdom's going back to the Father. He's going to abolish his rule. He's going to give it back to the Father, and he must reign until all his enemies have been defeated. And the last enemy, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 26, is death. And so that is defeated at the resurrection. And so it fits perfectly with what the scriptures teach. Another problem with premillennialists have is, what about the earth? According to 2 Peter 3, 10 through 12, it's not going to be here. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens will be passed away with a great noise, and the elements will be melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in them will be burnt up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, then what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Where would the future kingdom and throne be if the earth is going up in smoke? If it's going to be burnt up, there's going to be no place to establish the kingdom, and there's going to be no place on earth that he's going to be able to rule and reign, because there's not going to be one." Again, how do men get around these plain, simple passages? Just read your Bible. Now, the last argument, of course, and we could not even give it justice to do it in these few minutes, to the misteaching done in the book of Revelation. But in the book of Revelation, they used Revelation 20, 1 through 6, to prove premillennialism, to prove the future reign of 1,000 years on earth. But what kind of book is Revelation? The book of Revelation, and we looked at this some time ago, when we went through the whole book of Revelation and showed the context of the book and showed chapter by chapter, and it's a book of signs, symbols, and figures of speech. Yet this passage excludes some very vital information that would be needed if the 1,000-year reign were correct. If premillennialism was true, there would have to be some things in Revelation 20 that are painstakingly absent. Let me give you some illustration. There's nothing mentioned about the second coming of Christ in Revelation 20. Nothing about Christ reigning on the literal earth. Nothing about the resurrection of the body is mentioned there. No mention of Christ ever being on the earth again. It's not contained anywhere in the scripture that Christ will ever step foot on the earth again. And it says, "They shall reign with him." Not we, they. Something, they, not we, not the ones that are on the earth. They, someone else. And so again, it doesn't fit the context. But there's a lot of figurative language used in this book. You have the key of the abyss, the chain in his hand. "Shut it and seal it." Throne. "He saw the souls under the altar." The beast, the mark of the beast, his image. The mark upon the forehead and upon their hand. The number 666. the first resurrection, the reign for 1,000 years. Why should they decide what is literal and those other things are figurative? Well, the reason they do that is so they can fit their doctrine. They have to take some things literally, some things figuratively, in order to prove their doctrine. But the problem is, ladies and gentlemen, their doctrine does not equate with what the Bible teaches. Now, one of the other things I want to point out to demonstrate this is to understand why Jesus had to go back to heaven. He had to ascend back to heaven. To do that, I want you to listen. I'm going to read Hebrews 9, beginning in verse number 23. It says, "Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, that he should offer himself often as a high priest entered the most holy place every year with the blood of another, but he then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it's appointed a man to die once, and after this is the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." Now notice, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us when he ascended back to heaven, he fulfilled the prophecy of Daniel chapter 7, 13 and 14. He came to the Ancient of Days and he gave him dominion and glory and a kingdom. And he began to rule in that kingdom. But before he began to rule, he gave the blood that he shed upon the cross as a ransom price for sin. God accepted the payment, and now man had a remedy how even though he sinned, he could redeem himself through the blood of Christ. And according to Acts 20, verse 28, that blood purchased the church. And that church is the kingdom, according to Matthew 16, verse 19. And the kingdom is also mentioned in Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14, because men are being translated into it. Now again, put the passages together, ladies and gentlemen. When you put the passages together, it becomes very clear. Daniel prophesied that the kingdom would be established in the days of the Roman Empire. We demonstrated last week that that indeed happened. We also demonstrated that the kingdom would be given back to his father at the end, and you can't give back something to someone that you don't now have in your possession. And so how is he going to build it and then wait 1,000 years to give it to his father? That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says he'll give it to him at the end, and the end is at the final resurrection and the judgment of all men. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible does not contradict itself. We need to listen, and we need to read, and we need to reconcile that the book of Revelation does not contradict the other 65 books. It is a book of complete harmony. And so, another reason that I'm a member of the Lord's Church is because I'm a member of the kingdom that is now in existence, and my Lord is sitting on the throne, spiritual throne of David, ruling and reigning in that kingdom now, and he is my high priest now, not on earth, not later. That's denominationalism, and that's not according to the scriptures. Thank you, and we'll continue looking at reasons for being a member of the Lord's Church, Lord willing, next week. Have a blessed day. Come and see us.